Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
There are three things in the Bible that you and I need to be slow to do. We must be slow to anger, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. What we're going to do today is we're going to study each of these. And the reason we're going to study these three things that we need to be slow about is that more Christians are troubled by these three things than you may know. In other words, other people may not know that you're troubled by speaking too quickly or being angry or being wrathful. And you've been wanting some help from the Bible. And today, I pray that we're able, by going to the Scripture, to offer you some help to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Now, to be slow to wrath, you need to be, first of all, slow to anger. In Proverbs chapter 16, and verse 32, you see the very direct statement. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Well, he is showing you just how important, how significant, how strong you must be in order to be able to be slow to anger. Because he says, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Well, it takes a pretty strong man to take a city. And it takes a pretty strong man to be slow to anger. Webster's New World Dictionary defines anger as a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition, etc., and usually showing itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. Let me say it again. Webster's New World Dictionary defines anger as a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition, etc., and usually showing itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. Now, there are a lot of things in life that cause us displeasure. Anger responds to these feelings of displeasure by fighting back at the, and I say in quote, supposed cause of these feelings. In other words, anger has four components in this definition. First, there is an injury, mistreatment, or opposition. That's the first thing. Then, there is the feeling of displeasure that arises from the injury, mistreatment, or opposition. That's the second thing. Then the third thing is there is the desire to fight back that arises from this feeling. And then the fourth thing is there is the fight against the supposed cause of the feeling. And I put supposed in quotation marks because often the thing you fight against is not the actual cause of the feeling, but rather the convenient target for the feeling. We'll talk about this in a minute. Breaking down anger into these four facets is going to help us to understand and see how we can become slow to anger. First of all, let's talk about the injury, or the mistreatment, or the opposition, or whatever it is, whatever that incident is that, you know, began to stoke up the bad feeling. May I tell you something? There's very little that you can do about the things that hurt you, unless you're the type of person who sets yourself up to be hurt. In other words, in life, you are going to be injured. You're going to be mistreated. You're going to be maligned. You say, well, that person had no right to do that. They may not have had a right to do that, but they did it. And let me tell you something, you're not alone. Every one of us in life, if we live long enough, are going to be injured by somebody, mistreated by somebody, maligned by somebody, opposed by somebody, reproached by somebody, persecuted by somebody. That just goes with the territory. And there's very little you can do about it. I mean, these things are just a part of life. Now, you can protect yourself to some degree by avoiding people in situations that are repeatedly painful, or by preparing yourself emotionally before entering a typical situation in which you get angry. For instance, if someone you know routinely injures or mistreats you, avoid them and learn to protect yourself with good boundaries. You don't have to be a doormat. In other words, if you've got somebody and the relationship is difficult and the way they treat you, you know, causes these feelings that lead to anger, these feelings of displeasure, then put some safe boundaries in your life so that they can't keep coming in and creating these feelings of displeasure in your life. I can think of many examples, but let's just say that when a person you know that you're close to, a relative, uses their words and their anger, for instance, to manipulate you and to intimidate you, just put a boundary there. That, you know, for instance, you say to them, listen, when you fly off the handle and try to intimidate me into, you know, complying with your wishes by your anger, you know what, I'm just going to go in the other room. I'm not going to subject myself to this treatment when you're been out of shape like that. When you settle down, then we can talk about it. That's a safe boundary. You say, well, if I say that to this person, they're really going to fly off the handle. Yeah, but the truth of the matter is when you leave the room, they can fly off the handle all they want to. They can break things and kick down doors, and they're not hurting you. They're hurting themselves. So that's just one example of literally hundreds I could give you. A boundary is not a wall. You're not trying to keep the person out of your life. You're putting the boundary down to keep you from stepping across a line that puts you in harm's way. Do you understand? Don't be a doormat. And so there are some things that you can do to protect yourself with good boundaries. Another thing, if you're entering into a particularly stressful situation where you're prone to get angry, like driving in traffic, then emotionally prepare yourself beforehand so that you aren't already anxious and tense and, you know, stoked up for a fight. I had trouble with that for years. I hated driving in traffic, and I made myself more of a nuisance because I was already stressed out about it. I was already tense about it. I was already ready for the fight. And then, you know, I've learned over time that doesn't work, and there's some circumstances in my life that helped me to learn that. But anyway, I move over to the right lane now and just kind of drive the speed limit, let everybody else duke it out. And you know something? I don't start out stressed because I'm not in a rush, and I don't arrive where I'm going stressed because everybody else was having the fight in the other two lanes. I'm just kind of trucking along, you know. And there are times when it gets a little bit stressful, and you just say, okay, look, I see this thing is getting ready to be a traffic jam. I've got to be level-headed here. Don't get stoked up. Or one thing leads to another, and the next thing you know, you're blowing your stack. So that's the first thing about anger. Just remember that the injury, the mistreatment, the opposition, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. So when it comes, it's kind of like, okay, well, it came, but what am I going to do? Second facet of anger is this, the feeling of displeasure that arises from the injury. You know something? Different people react differently to things that happen to them. I mean, in an identical situation, one person might laugh it off, and you're sitting there going, how can you laugh at a time like this? Another person might have no reaction at all. It doesn't affect them and make them happy. It doesn't make them laugh. It doesn't make them mad. They just don't react to it. And a third person might be very displeased. Well, to a great degree, our reaction has a lot to do with how we are wired. Some of us have longer fuses than others. In other words, if you're the kind of person who has a short fuse and a person you know has a long fuse, and you keep wondering why you're the one that seems to find that feeling of displeasure so rapidly, you may just be wired that way. And if you are, it is helpful to know that, because then you'll realize, okay, I'm going to feel some displeasure at times when other people don't, but I don't have to react to it. All right, and another thing, our feeling of displeasure might also be due to the fact that we're already sitting on a keg of gunpowder, just waiting for the least little thing to make us blow. And, you know, there are a lot of people like that. They leave the house, and I mean, they have their keg jam full of gunpowder. And so it only takes a spark. And if that's your case, you know, this is something that you must control. Empty your powder keg and be filled, like the Bible says, with the Spirit of God. We've done several broadcasts, and our Sunday school teachers have done a couple of Sunday school lessons on anger. So go to our website, in the search box, type in the word anger, and you'll find all kinds of helpful ways to diffuse your anger. This broadcast isn't about that. This is how to be slow to anger. All right, so remember now, anger starts with the injury or the mistreatment or the opposition, and there's very little you can do about that. And then there's the feeling of displeasure that arises from the injury, and you may just be one of those that reacts, you know, more quickly than another person. That doesn't mean you're wrong. It's just the way you're wired. Here's the next thing. And the next thing is the desire to fight back. The desire to fight back. Now, this is where the real work in being slow to anger comes in. When you begin to feel displeasure at a mistreatment, you typically fight the person or the thing that caused the displeasure. You know, you raise up and the cabinet door is open and you bump your head. What do? Slam the cabinet door. Now, the cabinet door did not open by itself. It wasn't there by itself. When you decided you needed to slam it, what did you do? That feeling of displeasure came up. There was a desire to fight back, and you took it out on the first thing that was available, and bang, that door went shut. That's that anger, the desire to fight back. You know what you need to do? You need to learn to do. You need to learn to take that option off the table. Take it off the table. Remember, one of the greatest characteristics of the Lord is that he is slow to anger. Nehemiah 9:17, the Lord is slow to anger. Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is slow to anger. Psalm 145, verse 8, the Lord is slow to anger. Joel 2:13, Jonah 4:2, Nahum 1:3, you know what they all say? The Lord is slow to anger. You know that. Because if the Lord really wasn't slow to anger, some of the things we've done, we'd be dead today. You know that. Now, here's the deal. Listen, if the Lord is slow to anger, and you know that he is, remember this. The Lord resides inside of you. The Lord resides inside of you. So if you will yield to the Lord, at the very moment that you begin to feel the displeasure, he can strengthen you so that you don't fight back. Do you understand? Anger usually shows itself in a desire to fight back, but since the Lord is in you and he is slow to anger, if you will yield to him, you won't fight back. Because he'll give you the strength. You will be going in his character, not in your own. And furthermore, if the feeling of displeasure is coming from another person, you know, you're in a discussion and you're starting to feel that displeasure, you can simply tell them, listen, I'm beginning to get mad. And when you do that, you simply diffuse the situation before it gets out of hand. One of the greatest realizations that I had in my own life was recognizing that certain topics about which my wife and I speak get under my skin. Just, you see that second point, the feeling of displeasure that arises from the injury? Some of us are wired that way. It was a great, great thing to be able to say to my wife, somebody with whom I'm very much in love and somebody that's very close to me, and I say to her, listen, you know the topic about which we're discussing right now? I'm starting to feel stressed about it. I'm beginning to get mad. And I'm not mad at you. I just find that I'm getting stoked up here. Why don't we quit for a little while? We'll come back and talk about this later. When we do, boy, you just, you know what? We don't, the fight never happens. The desire to fight back is the third thing in anger. So here's the fourth thing. The fourth thing is the supposed cause of this displeasure. So when you look at the injury, when you look at the definition of anger, it is a displeasure, a feeling of displeasure that results from an injury or a mistreatment or an opposition that usually manifests itself in a desire to fight back against the supposed cause of this feeling of displeasure. Now, the trouble with anger is this. It looks for a target. And often the target is not the cause of the feeling of displeasure. Often the target is rather a person that you love and trust against whom you can fight without disclosing your true source of displeasure or without confronting the source of your displeasure. For instance, if you're stressed by fear, but you don't want to disclose your fear because it's like a sign of weakness, or you don't want to disclose the source of your fear because it might be a person, then the displeasure you feel from the fear will be expressed in a fight against someone else or against something else. Listen, when you feel displeasure towards someone that you are afraid to confront, you will take out the feeling of displeasure on someone else that you are not afraid to confront. Do you understand? That's why I say, I put the supposed cause of this feeling of displeasure in quotation marks, because you're sitting there having a discussion with somebody that you love and trust who puts up with your anger, and they say a little something, and you go boom, and you give them a big shot of fight and anger that did not come from them. It came from something else that you did not confront. It came from something else that you were afraid of or stressed out about that you didn't want to admit. You need to be very careful here, and you need to be very honest here with yourself. You aren't addressing the cause of your displeasure. You are addressing the target. And oh my, when you are slow to anger, you recognize that about yourself and say, whoa, 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 I am not going to get mad at my spouse. They're not the cause of this displeasure. I have to admit that I'm feeling very weak and stressed about a situation I shouldn't be afraid of, but I am. I'm feeling a lot of stress toward a person that I am afraid to confront. I am not going to take this out on somebody that I love because they're not the cause. And when you are slow to anger, you'll see that. So be slow to anger. All right, second thing, James 1:19, be slow to speak. He said be swift to hear and slow to speak in James 1:19. You know what this is? This is an admonition to put a really good filter on your mouth. I mean, just because some anger wells up inside of you doesn't mean that you need to spew it out on others. Listen, usually if you can settle down for about 20 minutes and just gather your composure, you can diffuse any wickedness that was ready to come out of your mouth. I mean, it may very well be that you need to confront or need to rebuke a person, but you don't want to do that when you're mad and when you're prone to say things that you're going to later regret. Slow down. Slow to speak. Calm down. Slow to speak. Pray. Go to the Lord. Talk to Him. Slow down. Don't let this thing come flying out of your mouth. And then follow the admonition in James 1:19 to be swift to hear. You need to listen. You need to listen carefully and thoroughly to what others are saying. Often, we are so ready to reply with our emotional response that we're not listening to what is being said. And if you will listen carefully, you will know exactly how to respond. And remember this little piece of advice here. If you're emotional about something that you just heard or something that just happened to you, if you're emotional, you're liable to say something you will regret. So when you're emotional and you're angry, the best thing to do is to get somebody that you really trust, like your spouse, or a really good friend, and say, you know what, man, I am stoked up about this. And this is what's happened here, and I have the feeling to want to reply and respond this way, but I need somebody, listen, I need somebody who can be more objective than I am. You can ask them, am I just reacting because I'm emotional, or am I really seeing this correctly? And I'll tell you what, he or she, whoever that counselor is in your life, can save you a ton of shame and guilt. Yeah, you don't want somebody that goes right along with you. You want somebody that can stand back objectively, look at you, love you enough, and say, now listen, you are being emotional. The objective view of this thing is not nearly like you're seeing it. And once your emotions are brought back into to proper alignment, you won't be angry. So don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't reply right now. You're certainly no position to say anything about the way you feel. Man, I tell you what, if you have somebody like that in your life, trust them, use them. They will help you so, so much get through a situation before you say something that really, really going to stoke a big fight. So the Bible says, be slow to anger and then slow to speak. And then the Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 19, be slow to wrath. Be slow to wrath. We see the same thing in Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding. Well, Webster's New World Dictionary defines wrath as, first of all, intense anger, rage, fury. Second definition, any action carried out in great anger, especially for punishment or vengeance. So wrath, if I understand it correctly, is stronger than anger. It's a rage. It's a fury. I mean, it's looking for vengeance. It's looking to punish somebody for the way you feel. Now, some of us have dealt with intense anger, and we know what it is to go from 0 to 60 in a split second. I mean, in 1 second, you can just be as calm as a blue, still day, and 2 heartbeats later, you can be ready to push the button on an atomic bomb and just blow up every adversary you've ever had. 2 heartbeats. Boom, boom, you're ready. Now, some of us who've dealt with intense anger know all about what it is to go from the feeling of displeasure to destructive behavior in 1 second, just in a flash. And we've not been slow to wrath. Now, may I tell you something? This wrath is not only harmful to those against whom you execute it, it's also harmful to us. If you keep reading there in James, where he says, be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, you know what he says in verse 20? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Nothing good comes from your wrath. It's harmful to you. Now, the Lord shows us how to deal with wrath in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, he makes it very simple. And you just have to believe what he said and do what he said. He says this. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 30, he says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the answer right there. The Lord says that it needs to be put away from you. Now this is possible through the Spirit of God who's in you. Grieve not the Spirit of God. He's grieved when you're wrathful and angry. So yield to him. It's also possible through forgiveness. Because usually what happens is you're hanging on to something somebody did against me. And through kindness and through tenderhearted, you say, well, I'm not kind and tenderhearted. Well, just ask God to make you that way. Because it's important to remember that the Lord said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. That's what he said in Romans 12:19. We are never in a position where our wrath is justified. You've got to let it go. You've got to let God give you the grace to let him handle whatever the situation is the way that he desires and when he deems necessary. And you got to remember something. He may never deem it necessary. He may never deal with the thing that upset you. He may just let the thing go because he's kind and tenderhearted and he's slow to wrath. Do you know something? Angry people like to quote Ephesians 4:26. Be ye angry, in order to excuse their regular loss of temper. But the operative word in Ephesians 4:26 is the word sin. Be ye angry and sin not. And you know what the trouble with most people is? The trouble with most people is they don't call it sin when they're angry. They only call it sin when somebody else is angry. And you know what that is? That's hypocrisy. And you, listen, you just need to cut anger out. You need to stop. And if you'll follow what you've heard here, look on our website, search the word anger, and see the other things we've posted about it. I believe you can really, I know you can. I've seen it in my own life. You can get this wrath out of your life and slow this thing down. So I'm not going to take time now to review everything that we've said about being slow to wrath today. I'm going to conclude by just encouraging you to listen to the outro on this message today. Go to the website. Study what you've heard in this message today. Study the other things that are written about this. And follow what God says. I'm telling you. What God said about how to be slow to anger, slow to speak, and slow to wrath is absolutely right. And it works when you take him at his word. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.